Good morning, my dear friends. Greetings and welcome to Leadership Talk. We would like to do this at least once in a month, where we interview leaders, where we share content, bring resources to you that will be very helpful in making you a leader. One of the things that God has been speaking to me regularly about is how everything rises and falls on the leadership. So if there is something going wrong in your church, it may not necessarily be the problem of your church. It may be the problem of the leader, the pastor, the people who are in charge of the entire house. And that's what we want to do in this series of podcasts that we will do at least once in a month. We would like to do this podcast, especially on Saturday mornings. And we'd like to bring you this content and hope that you will become the leader that God desires you to be. You will become the master, the kind of pastor that Jesus would say, hey, he who wants to be the master, let him be the servant of all. And this morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a small discussion. Pastor Hari is with me. And we're going to have a small discussion on the life of Billy Graham. This morning's podcast is a tribute to his life. Greetings, everybody. I'm here with Pastor Hari, and we're going to be doing this morning's conversation about Billy Graham. We all know about the recent passing away of Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, and he was a great man of God. He was a man who really inspired millions of people to follow Jesus, millions of people to really experience God in a very personal way. And we just want to do this podcast, and we will just share what we know about him and also what we've learned about him, and also give you a small clip of one of his preachings that we found on YouTube. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Thank you, Pastor Hari, for coming on this podcast and being a co-host with me.
Hello, Pastor Priji. Hello, everyone. Such a joy to be back on your podcast. And I must say, I completely commend the effort you put into creating this content for all of us. I try and listen to your podcast whenever time allows, and I'm thoroughly been blessed, especially the conversations that you've had with your wife about marriage, and your podcast is a blessing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. It's always a joy to have you on the podcast and to discuss. I know how you pick my brain and how you bring thoughts which have inspired me so much. And that's what we hope to do on this podcast, that we would be able to inspire our people to be a better version of themselves. Amen. Because we want everybody to become a leader. That's our dream, because God has created us to be leaders. And I think one of the best ways we can do that is by imitating good leaders.
Absolutely.
By learning from them. True. Instead of saying that I'm a self-made man, why don't we look at people around us and look at their strengths, look at their weaknesses, look at their faults, look at what they didn't do, what they did do,
right,
and learn from it.
Right. I mean, I exactly like Paul said, no, imitate me as I imitate God. And every generation has leaders, every generation has champions and generals who have walked the road, who have traveled the distance, and who've sustained a ministry and a life that is commendable both before God and men.
That's
and
right.
It's always good to look to such people so you can learn from their lives, so you can observe their lives. Even if you want to imitate them and duplicate them, one can only hope and pray that someone rises to a place of Billy Graham's impact and influence, you know. But it's so important to have the right role models in our lives. So we pursue an ideal that is acceptable before God and men. So I'm completely in agreement with you on that point.
Absolutely. And I think Dr. Billy Graham has been one of those figures in our generation. Almost lived for 100 years.
I know, right?
1918 to 2018, almost.
Absolutely, just a few
century.
Months away, I think.
Yeah. And I think his complete name was William Franklin Graham Jr.
Right.
And you know, the Bible often talks about these great men of faith, like, for example, in Hebrews 11, it speaks about all these great men of faith.
Right.
I think if the Bible had to be written today, I'm sure Billy Graham.
Absolutely.
Billy Graham
without
would
a
be
shadow
one of those
doubt.
Guys.
I think it's important to understand the breadth of what this man, how God used this man to impact not just one generation, but multiple generations,
that's right,
you know?
That's right.
Like, he was relatable to your everyday man, everyday woman who had a regular job. And then he was also very relatable to the rich, to the poor, to the celebrities, to ministers, to mayors, and even presidents, you know? In fact, presidents, some of the presidents refer to him as mentor and friends.
Right.
So when you look at the breadth of the impact this man has had, it has to be God-given.
Absolutely.
When the news broke, I think almost the whole world came to a standstill.
Exactly.
Every media house came to a standstill. Irrespective of what was happening in the world, they were talking about Billy Graham's passing.
That's
that
true.
In itself is a testament to how wonderful and how what a legacy this man has had, you know?
That's right. That's right. In fact, he got saved when he was a young man.
Right.
And that was the blessing that he had his entire life to serve God.
Absolutely.
Entire life to give to God. I think it was in a gospel meeting itself where he got saved.
Yes.
And though he grew up in a Christian family, none of it made as much sense to him as it started on that particular day.
Right.
And as I was reading through the biography of Billy Graham some time back, I remember him saying that I didn't feel as special or as different at that very moment, but he was saying how I knew that I have a great sense of responsibility. Now
right.
that I'm a child of God, I have a great sense of responsibility. I think so many times as believers, even as people who go to church, follow God, we think that, you know, once we are saved, that's it. We are on our way to heaven. I'm saved.
True.
We don't sense that responsibility that we have about other people who don't experience, who don't have the same privilege that we have. And I think that's one reason why he was able to tap into the call of God over his life, where he saw that it's not just about me. Me getting saved was not just about me. It was about so many others who could
Absolutely.
Get saved through my life.
I think in many ways his life was about one thing. You know, it just goes on to show that what God can do through a life if you are single-minded and you have laser kind of focus on what God has called you to do. Married to one woman, was dedicated to one message, dedicated to one ministry. He was not trying to be everything. He did one thing and he did it really well.
That's
and
right.
that was preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think that anybody in our generation has preached to as many number of people.
Yeah.
If you're just talking numbers, I don't think anybody has.
Yeah, it's about 215 million people in person.
In person, and that's apart from the impact he has had through television,
social media,
satellite, social media, all of that. And he has been in this age where television evangelists were criticized. They were made fun of. Newspaper
Absolutely.
Reporters, they would write all kinds of stuff
and
about
scandals,
him.
You know.
And the
scandals,
yes.
I mean, the number of scandals, number of celebrated preachers that were making headlines in the 80s and the 90s. It was a scary time to be a Christian leader.
Right.
It was a scary time to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist, because every second day there was somebody that was making news for all the wrong reasons. And to be in a generation such of that kind, and then to live a life that is exemplary, and
That's
to
right.
to have a ministry that is untouched by scandal, untouched by the world, it's just brilliant. It's almost like, is that even possible? You know.
That's right. In fact, I remember reading this about him, that somebody, one of the news article guys, they came and asked him, hey, you know what, have you heard of this scandal? Have you heard of that scandal?
Right.
Why is all of this happening? And then Billy Graham, in his amazing metaphoric way, he said this, hundreds of planes take off every day, but none of them make the news. Only the one that crashes makes the news.
Wow.
And he was trying to say that for every scandal or for every downfall or for every negative,
Correct.
I can show you that many more people who've been standing faithfully for God. And I think he actually made it to the news, having landed safely. He still made it to the news.
I think his charm and his wit was so unparalleled. Like, I've seen some of his interviews. He was so charismatic.
Right.
Like, at the same time, he was not proud. He didn't come across as someone who was prideful,
arrogant,
or arrogant.
Right.
But he was sharp. Mm. He was spot on. He great sense of humor. Very affable. Like, there was nothing about him that you didn't like. You know.
That's right. That's
so
right.
And absolutely, I think I remember this one story of him where you know, there were these people that wanted to frame him, and they wanted to catch him in a compromising position. Mm. And he had just finished a big crusade in one of the cities, and he was going to walk into his hotel room, and the Holy Spirit stopped him and says, "Don't go in."
Yeah,
don't go in. And he was so he was kind of surprised by what the Holy Spirit says: "Don't enter the room." Mm. And he had this one person that traveled with him everywhere, and so he asked this person that travels with him to go inside the room and check if everything was okay. And when this person walked in, apparently there was a photographer and a lady that was not that was dressed skimpily, and they wanted to just click pictures with like, they just wanted to frame him and tarnish and bring ill reputation to his name. And I was amazed how, one, that the Holy Spirit knew what was happening and God was protecting his son, and I was also amazed with the fact that he was sensitive after a big crusade to hear the voice of God and to obey at the last minute of not entering the room.
That's right.
I incredible
How
stories
many
like that.
Casualties can we avoid if we are just sensitive
Absolutely.
To the voice of God? We think the devil is attacking us, we are undergoing persecution.
Yeah.
But if only we would just be sensitive to the presence of
Absolutely.
God and be receptive to his voice.
Absolutely. I think Billy Graham set such high standards, and not only for himself, but I think he also brought about a cultural revolution in how men of God and women of God can protect their name,
That's
can
right.
protect their reputation by following principles that are timeless.
I think
throughout his life, I was listening to one of his interviews or reading in one of his books, throughout his life, he never met another lady or another woman in person alone.
Right. Not even drive with them
Absolutely.
Alone in a car.
So every time he met a person of the opposite sex, he was either with somebody or it was in a very, very public place.
Right.
Not because he had to make it sexist, or not because he had to send out a picture where something would happen wrong, but just he held himself to such high standards.
Absolutely.
Because scripture says, stay above reproach.
Right.
For you to stay above reproach, you can't even flirt with the idea of a scandal. You can't
That's
even
true.
Give room for a speculation of a scandal or a speculation of a wrong or a bad or a poor report, you know.
That's
so
true.
that in that way, in the 70s and the 80s, I think Billy Graham literally changed the culture of what evangelists should do in ministry, both in leadership and on pulpit.
That's true. In fact, some of these reasons were why he did get criticized a lot. He was called sexist. He was called all these names. In fact, he invited Martin Luther King Jr. to come and preach with him when he was in New York. He invited him to come and preach with him. And whenever he would go down to the South area, wherever there was this racial discrimination, he was one of those preachers who decided to break that racial
segregation
white people would be sitting on the other one side, the black would be on the other side, and he said, "This is not going to happen in my crusades."
Yes.
And that was highly unpopular.
Absolutely.
It was something that he got a lot of criticism for. Not just did he do that, he in fact invited, he was a good friend of
Yeah, he was
of
one of the early supporters of the civil rights movement. And I think America and the world needs more of such leaders.
That's true.
Who speak for equality, who speak for justice, you know. Thank God for people like him who understood what was right and what was wrong and then took a stand.
It was not just that he knew what was right, but he stood up for it. He
Absolutely.
Spoke up for it. He practiced it. And that was a blessing for the church. Like right now, we look back at it and see it as an achievement. Yeah. But back then when he was doing it, he was under all the fire and everybody were talking bad about him. You know, if you read one of his biographies, you will hear, you know, they've mentioned all those news reports that were written about him. There were cartoons that they would draw of him coming into a meeting and leaving with a huge bag of money. And then Billy Graham and his team, they decided to keep their accounts completely open. Right. And they would publish their accounts at the end of every crusade. How much money did they receive? What did they do with it? What is the salary from the whole year? They will be very transparent from the whole whole thing. And I remember this one newspaper that actually wrote that this guy is manipulating the people. And they used to sing the song "Just as I Am" in the Crusades, and that was the altar call song for people to come forward and receive Jesus. And this newspaper wrote saying this guy is emotionally manipulating people. It's because it's a very melodious song and a very nice song. That's why people come forward in such big numbers. So back in those days, the crusades used to be like 21 days and 14 to 21 days, right? So he decided, okay, for the next couple of weeks that we are here, no more singing. We'll just call them forward and we'll wait till everybody comes. And these news reporters were very excited because, you know, this guy responded to what they wrote about him. And the beauty of it is that, you know, the next couple of weeks, more number of people started coming to Jesus. And the same newspaper reporters, they reported back saying, "The silence is deafening. Please bring back the song. We really want the song back." And I think that's how he did not ignore his critics completely.
Right.
But at the same time, if there was any reality in it, he was willing to confront it. He was willing to stand by and give a complete picture of his side of the story.
It's also testimony to the fact that the gospel is enough.
That's true.
Like if somebody will preach the word of God, the undiluted truth of God's word and the gospel according to the way that the scripture says, it is powerful. It was powerful 2,000 years ago. It was powerful 100 years ago. And it will continue to remember. It's testament to the fact that the gospel is enough. And people will respond to the message of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Pastor Hari, if I may ask you, what are the things that you have learned from his life or his teachings? Or I don't know how much you've seen him or followed him, but what was one thing that inspired you the greatest about Dr. Billy Graham?
I think if there's one thing that Billy Graham has, his life has, I haven't listened to too many of his sermons, but I have read his one of the biographies about him. And one of the things that I personally hold very close to my heart is that I pray that God gives me the grace to finish well, just like Billy Graham finished well.
Yeah.
I think it's an important aspect that all leaders embrace, that it is not as important where you start and how you start, but it is important where you finish and you finish. I think when Billy Graham turned 70 or 75, apparently there was a newspaper headline that said, "Billy Graham turned 70 with his integrity still intact." I love that. I was like, that's such a blessing to hear that, you know, to run the race and to finish it and to finish it well.
That's right.
That is one of the things that I really want to learn and pray and devote myself to, that we will finish well.
Absolutely.
In spite of the successes that we have in our lives, you know.
Absolutely.
That is one. Second is, I love the fact that he was dedicated to the primary cause of the kingdom, that is saving of souls. I think that really stirs my spirit, that eventually it is about helping people and seeing the kingdom of God filled with these souls. You know, and if we can keep putting the focus back on that, that the ones that have not heard the message, that the ones that have not heard the love of Jesus, we can reach them and bring them to the Lord.
Right.
I think those two things would be the two primary things that I would want to take away from his life.
Absolutely. I think in my childhood days, I would watch these videos of his where there is a huge number of people attending these crusades and, you know, and those number of people responding to the altar call. And I would just watch these and I would just sit and cry. I don't know if This was even before Benny Hinn was big, or this was even before Reinhard Bonnke was that famous.
At yeah, least I think he circle. Made the whole stadium crusades thing, the thing.
A reality or something that everybody can dream and say, hey, if he can do it, I'm sure
absolutely
we can dream of something absolutely like that in our...
Because I think he brought the shift of going from tent meetings to stadiums, right?
Absolutely, yeah. He did begin with those tent meetings, which would go on for those long days, and then those crusades in stadiums. And he's been, I think, one of those only people who have been invited even to very hostile nations like North Korea and you know, China and Russia. And they've hosted him with the official state of honor.
I think that's the other thing, you know, when you ask the thing, he was a bridge builder.
Yeah.
He didn't build walls.
Right, right.
I think today, whether it's politics or whether it's church, we become very divisive as a people. We are very quick to divide, very quick to build walls, very quick to separate and segregate. But Billy Graham was one of those rare individuals who saw the beauty and the purpose and the benefit of building bridges.
Absolutely, that's true.
Across denominations, across value systems, across belief systems. And that, I think, was one of his greatest successes as a man, you know.
Very true. In fact, I know that when the day that he passed away, just in a couple of days, you wrote a blog post on the prophetic significance behind his passing away. Would you like to just share about that?
Yeah, it was a very powerful moment. I was with a few friends of mine, and I was with this young prophet of God by name Manoj. And as we were praying, and suddenly the Lord spoke to this young prophet and said, I'm going to take Billy Graham quickly. He's going to pass soon. And I've heard these prophecies several times, you know, and I thought this is one of those moments. But within 4 days of that prophecy, Reverend Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. And the prophetic words that came with it was, when Billy Graham passes, there will be a prophetic shift in the atmosphere in the church, and his mantle will fall afresh on a generation of young leaders and pastors who will carry the mandate of carrying the gospel to the ends of the world. Amen. That was one of the most powerful things that the Lord spoke, that God is going to take that mantle, because mantles are eternal. Nobody takes up his mantle back to heaven, you know.
Right.
So that mantle would fall on a new generation of leaders who will carry the message of Jesus Christ. That was one thing that stood out. The second thing was, the prophet also said that the babies that are born in this season are going to be very prophetic. God's going to use the children that are going to be born in this season. And I think, if I remember correctly, the third point was that God is going to quicken and accelerate the salvation of family members.
Wow.
So if any of our listeners, you have family members that are not saved, and you've been praying for, we want to believe with you that in this season they will come to the Lord, you and your household will be saved, and you will serve the Lord.
Absolutely.
I think there are a few other points that are there in the blog post itself, Pastor Priji.
We can leave a link for the blog post in this notes. Those who want to read the complete post, it's on harirao.com.
Yes.
We'll also leave the link in this blog post so they can...
I know. I think it's important that we celebrate the life of Billy Graham. He is a great, great ideal, a great example for the kingdom of God. And we will miss him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think so. Both of us have met him in person. But it just goes on to show a life that is fully dedicated to God, what impact and influence it can have.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's been a great role model for pastors, for evangelists, for teachers of God's word. And he's been a great leader.
Yes.
He not just in the church, but in the nation of America and around the world, wherever he has gone. He's been to India.
Yes.
My dad was in a crusade that he preached in Kerala, in Kottayam in Kerala. Until today, he recites the sermon that Billy Graham preached. He had preached on the word, I am that I am. You know, that was the verse that Billy Graham preached from. And till today, my dad tells me the complete sermon of what Billy Graham preached.
I remember that. I don't know if it's actually true or factual, that after one of his visits to India, apparently the government of India actually stopped him from coming
back because
of the impact he had in one of the states in India.
Yeah.
Like the majority of the population of that state accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and became Christians, you know. Yeah. So his God used this man to touch generations, influence nations. You know, one other thing that really stood out for me is that he was such a forward-thinking person. Mm-hmm. He used all forms of media. He used television, radio, print. I like that. I think more and more young people, more and young leaders must embrace the cutting edge technology that's coming.
That's true.
Because the message is the same, but the method can change.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it was good to do this podcast. I really wanted to share about Billy Graham because I don't want our generation, our next generation, to not be aware of how God used or what God can do through a man who is surrendered to him, who is surrendered to his will. And I'm sure, if there are people that are listening to us right now and God has been putting this in your heart to serve him in any capacity, it may not begin by preaching in a crusade where millions of people are getting saved, but it may just begin by, you know, small acts of service that you would do. Small acts of evangelism, small acts of ministering to people, prophesying over people, small things that you would do that would end up in greater,
like if you were to be faithful to what God has given you, you never know what is the eternal consequence of your obedience.
Right.
For example, the preacher that led Billy Graham to the Lord, Mordecai Ham, right? Mm. Like, because he was faithful, he was obedient to what God had given him.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of what he did is going to be felt throughout eternity.
That's true. That's true. That's amazing. So, Pastor Hari, thank you for helping me do this podcast.
Thank you, Pastor Hari.
We hope to do more conversations
this.
It's going to be fun.
I agree.
I really believe that everything rises and falls based on the leadership. And
absolutely.
If we can raise a generation of godly leaders, then I think our churches and organizations will function so much more better and so much more
indeed.
Smoother.
Indeed.
So here is a small video clip. Actually, it's an audio clip that we're going to play for you from Dr. Billy Graham's sermons. And he's teaching on hell, one of the not so familiar, not so well-wanted topics that we hear about. And I hope you enjoy the sermon.
And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. You go immediately after you die to face the judgment. And the judgment is not going to be to decide whether you're saved or lost. The judgment is going to be to decide your place in hell. Because the decision is being made by you here and now in this life. And you cannot read the Bible and miss the references to hell. And I don't see how a clergyman can preach without talking about it. Because it's so much in the scriptures. And the one that taught so much about it is Jesus, more than any other person in the Bible. To be in hell is to be out of the presence of God. What is hell? I'm not going to give you my imagination. I'm not going to do what some have done in the past and use their imagination to frighten people. We ought to be frightened. But I want to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. There are three words that describe hell in the Bible for me. One is fire. For our God is a consuming fire, says Hebrews 12. But the Bible also teaches that fire is used symbolically. It says our tongues are set on fire of hell. That doesn't mean literal combustion in James. It's symbolic. And Jesus used this symbol over and over. I believe that the fire is a thirst for Almighty God that can never be quenched. You'll go out into eternity thirsting for God and you can never find Him. And you can never find the fulfillment that you missed in this life. And then secondly, the word darkness. The Bible says God is light. And Matthew 8:12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Hell is called outer darkness. It's separation from God in darkness. That's the reason those that go to hell will not see anybody else. It'll be too dark. You're not going to go down there and set up a nightclub and have a big time and have beautiful golf courses and all the rest of it, as some people think. No. It's separation from God. You die the first time naturally. Your body dies. Now your soul, your spirit is still alive, but it's dead. It's dead toward God, just like it is tonight. There are thousands of people here in this audience in South Florida tonight whose spirit is dead toward God. Your body is alive. You go to church. You're religious, as most people are around the world. But deep in your heart, you don't really know Christ. You haven't made your peace with God. Now, God doesn't take any delight in hell. He didn't create hell for you. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you persist in going the devil's way, that's where you're going. And the scripture says that God's desire is that all men should be saved. All women should be saved. That's God's desire. He wants it so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was a judgment. God judged Christ in your place. And Jesus, being who he was, had the capacity to endure hell for you. And when Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, in a way that we cannot possibly fathom or understand, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father were separated. And Jesus took the pangs of hell and he suffered in that moment everything that man will ever be called upon to suffer. He did it for you because he loves you. And now God says you must repent of your sins and receive him into your heart. And if you don't do it, and you persist in listening to the voice of the devil who says you have plenty of time, or who tells you that it's not true, or whatever he's whispering to you, yes, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice between some things that are wrong in your life, and you have to make a choice with Christ. Which will it be? What is your choice?
I hope you enjoyed that. I really believe that you have already made a decision to follow Jesus and to escape this reality of hell. If you have not, make that decision right now. And I hope that God will make you a leader, a evangelist, a preacher, a prophet, like the man Billy Graham was. God bless you. We will catch up with you next time.
That's all for this week. As you prepare for a new week ahead, may we request your continual prayer and financial support for the ministry here at Bangalore Revival Center, and also for our mission work in different and diverse parts of India, Africa, and around the world. Every dollar or rupee you contribute will actually make a life-transforming difference to many. Find all the information for making your generous contributions at pastorpriji.com.